Good evening and welcome to the 38th District Live Telephone Town Hall. My name is Lilia and I'll be moderating tonight's call. Thank you for taking the time to join us. We hope you will find this call informative. In a moment, I'll turn the phone over to State Representatives Mike Sells and June Robinson and Senator John McCoy for some opening remarks. But first, I want to explain the format for tonight's call. If you would like to ask a question, just press star 3 on your phone and you'll be connected with a staff person who will take your question and get you into the queue to speak directly with the lawmakers. Please note that this is a live question and answer session. By pressing star 3 on your phone, you will have an opportunity to speak directly with your legislators. We want to get through as many of your questions as possible during this call, so we have to limit participants to only one question each. Pressing star 3 right now is all you need to do to ask your question. Here's some information on your legislators. Senator John McCoy served in the U.S. Air Force for 20 years, retiring in 1981 with lots of training in computer operations and programming. He worked as a computer technician in the White House from 1982 to 85. John is active with the Native American Advisory Boards for the National and Snohomish County Boys and Girls Clubs and the Advisory Board for the Cascade Land Conservancy. John and his wife Jeannie have been married since 1965. They have 3 daughters and 9 grandchildren. Remember, press star 3 on your phone right now to ask a question. Representative Mike Sells is a retired teacher and former Everett Education Association president. He taught elementary, middle, and high school students. Mike is serving as secretary-treasurer of the Snohomish County Labor Council, an organization of 65 unions that represent 42,000 working people in Snohomish County. He has served on the Central Washington University Board of Trustees and the Everett Housing Authority Board of Commissioners. He currently serves on the Snohomish County Economic Development Council Board. Mike and his wife, Gail, have 2 grown children. Remember, press star 3 on your phone now to ask a question. Representative June Robertson holds a bachelor's degree from the University of Delaware and a master's in public health from the University of Michigan. She works at Public Health Seattle and King County, managing community health worker programs that address chronic disease self-management for people living with asthma and diabetes. She recently served as the executive director of the Housing Consortium of Everett and Snohomish County, and she serves on the board of the Washington Low-Income Housing Alliance, the Salary Commission, and the Human Needs Committee for the City of Everett. June and her husband, Hilbert, live in Everett. Their 2 sons, Cole and Garrett, are college students. If you have a question for your legislators, please press star 3 on your keypad right now. And now here they are, Representative Sells, Representative Robinson, and Senator McCoy.
Good evening, Ms. Senator McCoy. I want to thank you for joining the telephone town hall so that we could answer your questions. As you know, I just recently left the House, and I'm in the Senate now. The committees I'm on, I'm ranking on the Environment, Energy, and Telecommunications Committee, and I sit on the Government Operations and Rules Committees. So all the subject matter of those 3 committees I've chaired while I was in the House, and so all the matter is familiar to me. So thank you, and let's have a great call.
Well, thank you for being with us this evening. This is Representative Mike Sells. This year, I am sitting on the Transportation Committee, the Higher Education Committee, where I'm working on making sure that we get the needed funding for a new WSU Everett, and chairing the Labor and Workforce Development Committee, where this week we've been working on injured workers' compensation, minimum wage, prevailing wage, and workplace safety. A number of issues come through that particular committee affecting business and labor.
Hi, this is June Robinson, a newly appointed representative. I've been just here in this position for a month, and I'm happy to be in Olympia representing you, and thank you for joining the call this evening. The committees that I'm serving on are Community Development, Housing, and Tribal Affairs, Government Operations and Elections, and Capital Budget. I've been busy meeting with constituents who've come down to visit and signed on to a number of bills that will help support working families in our district.
All right. Thank you very much. Folks, please remember to press star 3 on your keypad right now if you have a question for your lawmakers. And we're going to go with Rebecca, who has a question about drug problems in Marysville. Rebecca? Rebecca? Rebecca, can you hear me? Nope. Okay. So we're going to go with Debbie, who has a question about supporting low-income housing.
Yes. I'm curious why Elmer Scott Dahl gets to, who's his whole, they're wealthier than God, own most of the property in Everett, and they get, for their high-rise expensive condos they're building, they get 10 years tax-free while having absolutely no income, low-income housing in the buildings. And the people of Everett, so many of them work for minimum wage and need places to live. And why are you supporting this?
Okay, can you take it there, legislators?
This is Representative Robinson. Well, I'm doing a lot to work towards additional affordable housing in our community for the people who are working for minimum wage and who are having trouble affording rent. The law that you referenced that allows the property tax exemption does it was written in such a way that it gives preference to people who do provide affordable housing, but it does also allow that tax exemption for people who do not provide affordable housing, and that's the way the law was written several years ago to encourage development in downtown areas. And I would encourage you to continue a dialogue on that issue with the Everett City Council.
All right, thank you very much. Please remember to press *3 on your keypad right now if you have to ask a question. And we're going with Edward from Everett, who has a question about COLAs. Edward?
Yeah, I would like to ask the representatives, Ms. Robinson, Sells, and Senator McCoy. This is Ed Glazer in Everett. The governor has just proposed, finally, a COLA for teachers after 6 years without any salary adjustments. What will you do in the House in order to assure that this is passed? And, Senator McCoy, what can you do in the Senate to overcome the obstacles of it at least coming up for a vote?
This is Representative Sells, Ed. Most of the House Democrats have signed on to the teacher COLA bill, and I believe it'll come up, and I believe it will pass the House. The question, of course, becomes what will happen in the Senate with Rodney Tom and the Republicans saying they don't want anything to do with teacher COLAs and are more interested in other areas. And I'd let Representative McCoy respond further if he'd like.
Hi, Ed. Yes, I signed on to the teacher COLA bill in the Senate. We'll work hard to move it along and hopefully try to get it to the floor for a vote. But as Representative Sell stated, the Senate majority, the MCC, is reluctant to do anything that brings new revenue. And in their eyes, this brings causes new revenue, and they won't support it. But we will continue to work this. As Mike said, that on the House side, they'll probably get it out. And then we'll see what we can do with that. As you know, nothing is dead until sine die, and then it's still in question. So we'll keep working at it.
All right, if you just joined us, we are having a live telephone town hall with your 38th Legislative District lawmakers. And let's see, we're going to go with Arthur right now, who has a question about universal health care.
Yes, how are you? I've been watching the state of Vermont. They passed some legislation recently to enact universal health care beginning January 2017. And my question is there anything in the planning or is there any discussion going on with respect to implementing or working towards putting together a universal health care plan for the state of Washington?
This is Representative Sells, and I think Representative Cody and the Health Care Committee are working on that issue through the exchange process that they have, and they may move somewhat in that direction, but I don't think it's going to be quickly done. I'm one of those people that would like a single-payer health care plan, but I don't think it's going to happen overnight.
And this is Representative Robinson. I'm really glad to hear that the state of Vermont and I believe some other states are working in that direction, because that'll give other states like Washington examples to build off of. But I know right now we're busy in this state implementing the Affordable Care Act and making sure that people do have more access to health care, although it's not yet universal health care or single payer.
All right. Thank you. Please press star 3 on your keypads right now if you have a question for your representatives from the 38th District. And we're going to go with John, who has a question about, or a comment maybe, about Internet neutrality. John?
Hello. My concern is what's happened to so-called Internet neutrality with the dropping of the former FCC things and rules and what the federal government plans on doing to guarantee, or for that fact, the state government plans on doing to guarantee that we maintain net neutrality, network neutrality for Internet.
This is Senator McCoy. Unfortunately, the only ones that can legislate the Internet is the federal government. And I was really distressed when that decision came down from the courts eliminating Internet neutrality, because I am fearing that the cost of Internet services will start going up and other things connected with the Internet. So I'm really disappointed in that, and the only way we're going to be able to work on this is if myself and you and other citizens in the United States start clamoring Congress to change the legislation that makes Internet neutrality stay.
Okay, thank you. You are having a live telephone town hall with Senator McCoy, Representative Mike Sells, and our new Representative June Robinson. Please remember to press star 3 on your keypad if you have a question for any of them. We're going with James, who has a question or a concern about PERS 4. James?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm the president of the largest AFSCME union in the city of Everett, Local 113, actually a centennial local of AFSCME. Now, the concern my members and I have are the plans that are afoot to develop a PERS for a defined contribution retirement rather than a defined benefit program. It's terribly disconcerting. The plan as it is now is fully funded. If things are not messed with, it will remain fully funded. And that's one of the things, you know, as a civil servant, that's one of the things that are a benefit that is paramount. I don't get paid as much as a utility worker in the private sector, but I do have a good retirement. Do not allow people to mess with that, please.
This is Representative Sells, James, and I would agree with you 100%. 401ks are simply not something that people are going to be able to, or most people are going to be able to retire on. I think one of the best quotes I've heard on that was from a woman who wrote the book Pound Foolish. She said, instead, the 401ks have turned out to be a long, strange trip to a penurious retirement for all too many members of the baby boom generations. Never mind the psychedelic sideshows of the Internet and housing bubbles in black and white were all but broke. And I think with 401ks being used for people in the middle class, you're going to see a lot of people unable to retire. 401ks are really a savings account. You need to have about $1.6 million in them to really be able to use or retire on them, I've been told. And even the head of the Boeing company understands that. He has a $47 million pension himself on top of everything else. And why they would have pushed for a 401k for their employees when it wasn't good enough for the CEO, I'll never understand. But it's brought the issue much closer to the fore regarding everybody's pensions.
Thank you very much. And folks, remember to press star 3 on your keypad right now if you have a question for your lawmakers. We're going with Carolyn, who has a question about helping children and mental illness. Carolyn?
Yes, this is Carolyn Goza. I was there yesterday for NAMI Day and met with Representative Robinson and Representative Sells. And thank you for seeing us. And just wanted to let you know that Representative Sells, that you had asked for some possible numbers for a triage for our children and adolescents, and we are working on that. Judge Terwiller has already pursued that in the past, and so our Human Services Director, Ken Starks, said that he already had some prospective numbers, and we will work with that. And hopefully we can slowly but surely, it may take a couple of sessions, but that is something we would like, as well as the ITA that we mentioned for changing the word imminent to substantial. And would, again, appreciate y'all's support on that, and do appreciate the time that y'all took yesterday to visit with all of our NAMI representatives.
Thank you, Carolyn. This is Representative Robinson. Nice to talk with you again. And yes, I will look out for your issues, and I certainly understand your concerns, and I hope that we can get some work done soon on that triage center for youth. Also, just to let you know that I am working with the NAMI lobbyist, Seth Dawson, on some language in a budget proviso that would encourage peer counselors at the triage centers, which is another one of NAMI's issues.
Thank you very much. Folks, please remember to press star 3 on your keypads if you have a question for your lawmakers. We're going with Marie from Everett, who has a question about minimum wage. Marie? Hello, Marie? Marie on minimum wage, you're on. Okay, so let's go with Lance, who has a question about transportation, I believe. Hold on a minute. Lance, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. So you have questions about transportation and transit, correct?
I do, thank you.
Go ahead.
This is for Mike.
All right.
Mike? Mike, are you there?
Yes.
Mike, this is, my name is Lance. I had a question, Mike. First of all, I want to thank you so much. Many of us in labor are pleased that you're with us and supporting us down in Olympia. My first question, Mike, is what's the chances of that multimodal statewide transportation package that addresses transit and highway investments outlined in the 2013 Snohomish County Regional Transportation Priorities List? And I have a second question, but I'll hold that until you respond to the first one.
You won't have a second question because I think they cut you off. You better at this point. But the first answer is the House package does have the transit in it. The stumbling block, again, is whether or not we can get anything out of the majority caucus Republican coalition over in the Senate, where they're not too hot about transit at all or any number of things. So I think a lot of us who care about transit are saying we need to hold tough. Right now, it doesn't look too good from what we're being told with the negotiations, that each time we go into it, the Senate majority caucus coalition kind of struggles within their own caucus to try to get agreement. So we'll see where it ends up.
All right. Thank you very much. We are about a third of the way in this telephone town hall with your lawmakers from the 38th District. And now we're going with Fahim, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, about affordable housing for people coming out of prison.
Hello. Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you. I wanted to find out basically about Snohomish County, the city of Everett, surrounding cities, basically. What's being done to help the people coming out of prison? You know, I work for the city of Everett, the planning department, a volunteer at the jails and prisons here, basically in King County and Snohomish County. And, excuse me, one of the reasons we have such a high recidivism rate is because those guys coming out and women cannot find decent, safe, and affordable housing. And so, you know, I just basically want to just actually put it on a radar screen that this is something that I think we need to be concerned about, and also something basically where we need to have people of goodwill coming together to see if they can address this problem.
Hi, Fahim. This is June Robinson. you raise a really important and big issue, and one that has historically been difficult to overcome. Just a couple of things that I will be working on are a tenant screening bill whereby folks will not have to pay to have their background check done over and over again when they go to apply for housing, which may help in some ways folks who have not the best, you know, what landlords would see as, you know, maybe a poor rental history. At least it would eliminate them having to pay money multiple times for that background report. And then the other thing that we'll be working on getting passed this year is to keep the document recording fees that the county, Snohomish County, uses to support housing and homeless programs. And really the issue you raise is one that probably needs to be addressed at the local level, but at least having the document recording fee allows for funding to keep coming into the local community to address those issues.
All right, thank you very much. Please remember to press star 3 on your phone right now if you have a question for your lawmakers. And we're going with Joseph, who has a question about when the legislature passes the budget. Joseph?
Yes. I would like to know if the lawmakers have ever considered or would consider doing the budget as the first primary focus of the legislative session, in order to avoid what happened last year where two special sessions were required at a cost of $18,000 per day, I believe, to pass the budget. And I think that they should consider doing that first and then consider the special lobby interest groups and other needs that are provided in the state.
This is Senator McCoy. We do consider the budget from the very start. It's just that there's a lot of paperwork that we have to go through, and there's bills that have to be constructed in order to support the budget. And right now, for the short session, we're trying to move up the budget forecast from March to February, so that we have a better handle on how much we really have. And so consequently, through this entire time, there's a committee in the House and a committee in the Senate. That's all they do, is the budget from day one. And they begin their conversations on how to build the budget. We have to take into consideration the budget that the governor submits to us about the 15th or 16th of December, which is an advisory for the legislature, and we build from there. So there's a lot of mechanics that go into building the budget, and it can't be done overnight. The friends across the aisle, they actually tried to cut the session short by 5 days, but logistically and technically, the way the current laws are written, can't do it. So we're at 60 days. Everyone that I've talked to wants to be out of here in 60 days. So we just got to continue to work on the budget, I had a lot of conversation today about budget. So it's not that we're not working on it. It just, you folks don't see the behind-the-scenes work that we and our staff are working on to build the budget.
All right, thank you. And we're going with Lisa. By the way, if you have a question, please press star 3 on your keypad right now. We're going with Lisa, who has a question about school funding. Lisa?
Yes, sorry. I didn't know it was me because my name's
yeah,
actually Letha, L-E-T-H-A. But thank you very much. This is a great idea. I wanted to start off by saying, especially for us shy military families who don't really get out to something like this, it's hard sometimes to get military personnel out in public. But thank you very much for this great idea and this opportunity. So my son goes to Liberty Elementary. As far as I know, it was built in the early 50s. And I was just wondering, as far as the books and the facility itself, what your guys' plans were on possibly a remodel or reconstruction of the school, because it is quite old.
Thank you. This is Representative Sells. A lot of the money that goes to the schools comes through our capital budget, and over the last few years, many of those funds have been moved or raided. Secondly, school districts have to request that money. They have to put it on their agenda and say, this is one area where we want to improve or we want to fix something. So you should talk with your school board and school superintendent about that. And finally, I think in the capital budget this year, Representative Dungey has recommended some amount of money, a large amount actually, to be able to fund full-day kindergarten housing around the state. What we've learned is we've said we have to have full-day kindergarten, but a lot of districts don't have the space to do it. So we're looking at around $1.5 billion in that particular area, huge amounts of money, I realize. But I would talk with your school board and ask them about, are they looking at trying to do bonds or actually request funding around that particular building?
All right, thank you very much. Please remember to press star 3 on your keypad right now if you have a question for your lawmakers, Representative Mike Sells, Representative June Robinson, and Senator John McCoy. And we're going with Mark, who has a question or a comment about business growth and jobs. Mark?
Hello?
Yep, you're live.
Hello? Oh, hi.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Go right ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. The question I have is, it's not so much specific to the business community, but more of a generalized question, just to pretty much understand the state and where we're going. Are there any ongoing or new initiatives or programs to either encourage businesses to grow or support businesses to grow and open new jobs in the area, and to attract other companies to the state to open their doors in any industry that's out there?
This is Representative Sells, and I think you saw what we did earlier around the aerospace industry to encourage growth and to keep jobs here at this point. That would have a period of time from 2024 to 2040 where we had extended a tax exemption, bring about 56,000 jobs into the state. And admittedly, they're focused around one area. There are some discussions regarding the technology corridor folks and how we can help them out. It does become a little bit of a struggle dealing with the issue of where do you allow tax exemptions, for instance. And we have had some audits and studies that show us that some tax exemptions simply don't produce anything while others do. And closing some of those loopholes in those areas that don't produce is extremely difficult so that we can do some things where it does produce. The other part of it is that we've invested a lot of money into higher education and workforce training around a number of areas to try to help area businesses.
Great. Thank you very much. Please remember, press star 3 on your keypad right now if you have a question for your 38th District lawmakers. And we're going with Dean, who has a question about coal cars and oil cars. Dean?
Hi, good evening. This is Dean. I do have a concern about the number of rail cars that keeps going through our city of Marysville. I know it's really creates a backup, and I think I've counted about 121 cars per, I don't know what you call it, per train load, but going up and then back, and I mean, it just creates a havoc, especially when people are getting off work, and then it would create a problem for the emergency vehicles, school buses, et cetera. So I just want to know what's the latest on the situation with the rail cars. Thank you for taking my call.
The biggest problem, this is Representative Sells for Marysville, is what we call grade separation. Either, you know, you have no ability to go under or over the tracks. So we're taking a look, at least in the transportation budget, making sure we have the money on 116th to finish that off to help the east-west flow. And I have requested some funding to look at a better way of ingress and egress on 4th Street there, so you're not having to stand and wait or sit and wait as you come off the freeway or to get on the freeway at that point. The other problem, of course, is that trains are governed by the Interstate Commerce Commission, and the state doesn't govern them. I've had the Burlington Northern Santa Fe in meeting with city folks to see if they were willing to help a little bit. I didn't feel a lot of love on their part in terms of trying to help out with those things, but we're going to continue to try to see if we can't help with that grade separation in the city of Marysville.
And the entire process, as Senator McCoy, is still under environmental review. That has not been completed yet. In the hearing the other day, they said that they had received over 133,000 comments on that process, not only from the state of Washington, but Utah and Wyoming. So there's a lot of work yet to be done on completing the environmental study. But we're also looking hard at the safety and welfare of the cars and the tracks. Now, that's something that we can take a look at, the safety and health of those trains passing through our state. So we are taking a hard look at that. But nothing, no decision has been made yet because the environmental review has not been completed.
All right, thank you. We are about halfway through this telephone town hall with your 38th District lawmakers. If you have a question for any of them, please press star 3 on your keypad right now. And we're going with Jean, who has a question about Internet sales tax. Jean?
Hi. When are you going to change the time-consuming Washington State and City sales tax? Like, if I have 100 orders from Washington State, I have to look up 100 city codes, reverse calculate the city and the state portion of the tax, list them all, and like last year, it took me 2 weeks to pay you guys $39 total, and it, so I've just stopped all sales to Washington State. It takes me less effort to tell a customer, I'm sorry, I can't sell to you in Washington State than it is to figure out that tax. Now, I know that Amazon has these great computers to figure out exactly these lists of things so that they can add all up the city taxes and stuff. I mean, if you just changed it so it would be more like all the city taxes divided among the population, so, you know, small towns get a certain percentage because everybody orders from the Internet, that would solve the problem. Instead, you leave the burden on us small businesses that do Internet sales. When are you going to fix that?
There is a tax portal being worked on right now to assist small businesses in computing what that tax is. To begin with, the state tax all across the state is 6.5. Now, you see tax rates anywhere from 6.5 up to, I believe, Seattle is 10.1. What you see over 6.5 is local options. And it's up to those cities that employ those. So that's why it's difficult to try to have a simplified software system that will just, you know, basically say, okay, it's 8.5 across the state. Because of the local options, we haven't been able to do that. So there is an effort going on about working out a tax portal for small business that you can just quickly enter and get your answer and you can move on.
All right, thank you. Folks, there are a lot of people on this call, but we're trying to get to everybody. So if you have a question, please press star 3 on your keypad right now, and one of your lawmakers will take it. And we're going with Sharon, who has a question about mental health. Sharon?
Hello. Yes.
Go right
ahead. Hi, this is Sharon in Everett. And I raised a mentally ill child, and it's about mental health, and also worked in a mental health facility for several years. I have a question about most people anymore. If the police are called on them and they have a mental health history, most of them are in a computer. And the way it is now, if they're called by the police, they take them to the hospital where they're then triaged, and then they call a mental health worker in, and the mental health worker then decides where they go. And I think it would save the taxpayers a lot of money if they had... It would be a lot cheaper for them to have a full-time mental health worker with the police that could go out on these calls, that would have computer access to these mentally health people, mentally ill people, to where instead of them having to go to the hospital all the time, where they could look at their history and know if they need to go to a crisis bed or a hospital, rather than an ambulance, and then 3 or 4 hours in a hospital, and what all, I think it would save a lot of taxpayer money. And I'd like your opinion on that.
This is Representative Robinson. It sounds like you've thought a lot about it and have some good ideas about saving costs. I know that there are a lot of proposals out there to do similar things to keep people out of both the criminal justice system and to save the healthcare system costs. I believe Snohomish County is leading the way on some of this by setting up a crisis triage center in Everett where police can take someone who has a history of mental illness rather than taking them to jail. It's not exactly what you were talking about, but similar idea of sort of diverting the folks out of a crisis system but into somewhere where they can get help that's much more appropriate for them.
Yes, and this is Senator McCoy. I am working with individuals in the county to work on those that Representative Robinson brought up. So we have a system set up where law enforcement is not always being called. We're working with 211 Snohomish County on improving how they can work those issues out so that if you, as mom, calls 211, there will be a path of you be able to get direct access to some services. All right, it's not all there yet, but we're working on it in along the ideas that you're talking about. So we're hopeful.
All right, thank you. We're about two-thirds down in this call, so if you have a question, there is still time. Please press star 3 on your keypad right now. We're going with Stuart, who has a question about why we need to pay taxes for roads. Stuart?
Yes?
Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, my question is that we pay taxes when we buy gas, and we pay taxes when we get our plates on our car to register them. And my understanding is that money goes to road repair. And being a former commercial truck driver, it costs a lot of money to hang the tin on the truck. Where's that money going, and why are people being asked to pay more taxes to fix the roads when we're already paying the taxes through fuel and license plates?
This is Representative Sel Stewart. if you want to look at, see specifically where money is going, you can actually go to the Washington State Department of Transportation website, and they have a breakdown of all of the projects, which, by the way, most of them, except for a couple of large ones, are actually coming in under budget. But the cost of maintaining roads is extremely high, and the more population we have, of course, in the central Puget Sound region, the more wear and tear that we do have on the roads, that we need to do some things to fix them. Not only that, but to look at congestion relief through different ways of transporting people, either rail or buses. So, yeah, and we do have a ferry system, which a lot of states don't have. So it is a costly kind of process. I wish it were cheaper. Years ago, in 1956, when the Eisenhower administration created the federal highway system, most of that was paid for through the federal government. Over the years, that's been offloaded onto the people of each of the states, and that helps drive up the costs, at least locally, especially since the federal government has walked away from dealing with roads.
All right. Thank you very much, folks. Please press star 3 on your keypad if you have a question for your lawmakers. And we're going with Kay, who has a question about medical marijuana and recreational marijuana and how taxing both of them. So, Kay?
Yes, thank you for asking me to participate in this. I wonder if any of the legislators that are there have any input now that it's in committee about the taxation difference between medical marijuana, which is a medicine and used as such, and the difference between recreational, which is like booze and cigarettes. Is there
This is Representative Sells, Kay. It's really the discussion is going on at this point in time. I don't sit on any of the particular committees that deal with it. I've had some people to come in, and I've expressed concern about the difference between recreational and medical. The problem is, how do you set up a system that determines that kind of difference and treat everybody fairly? So I think people are struggling with it at this point in time.
Well, we do have a difference. I had to go to the doctor, and I had to have a prescription, and it was not an easy process to get classified as a medical marijuana patient. Couldn't we use the same?
Yeah, you do have a difference. You know, some of the issues, however, are whether or not you would put medical and recreational in the same place, but you'd have to have different types of people who are actually doing the pharmacological work as opposed to the recreational work. And I think they're just trying to figure it all out. It's not an easy task.
All right. Thank you very much. About 15 minutes left of this call, so please get your question in by pressing star 3 right now. We're going with Nate, who is asking, how do we let people know that we need revenue for education and other projects? Nate?
Well, yeah, it seems that overall, over the nation, there's this move toward conservatism, and I work with guys where I work, and I'm like an older fella, but I got a younger son and a younger wife. I got a son in elementary school, and everything that comes up as far as raising revenue is a no to everyone who's not involved. Everyone that doesn't have a stake in the game will vote no. So my question is, there has to be some type of media campaign. I mean, some type of media campaign to get folks to understand that what's good for the community is good for them. So are we looking at anything? I mean, I know money's short and money's hard, but are we looking at advertising campaigns to try to convince people that what's good for them, who may not look like they're affected, will be affected if our kids are left uneducated and unprepared to get jobs?
Senator McCoy, yes. The three of us have an email list that we send to our constituents, and that's how we get our electronic newsletter out every couple weeks. And through that media, we talk about how we need more money for education. The three of us that are sitting here now all support more revenue for our schools. We agree with the McCleary decision that we must fully fund education because we cannot have a thriving economy without educated people. So we have to educate. So through the media, and I agree with you that those folks that don't have a child in a school system, they'll vote no because they figure they're done. Or if they don't have children, have never had children, they just say, well, no, I'm not paying for that. But this is a community, and everybody should participate. And that's what's wrong with our taxing system. Not everybody participates. So we continue to build on that. The majority of the newspaper editorial boards across the state are telling the legislature, fund education. Well, we have a group of senators on the opposite aisle of me that absolutely oppose any revenue for schools. So that's unfortunate.
And I'd just like to say that the best advertising campaign is for all of us to talk to the people that we interact with and share our views with them. I think it's much more convincing if you hear that message from someone that you work with or is your neighbor or your friend or, you know, you go to the same church or whatever, someone that you interact with and know and trust, you're much more likely to think about that message in a positive way than if it came from some mass advertising source. So I would encourage you and all of us to just do that word of mouth advertising.
Okay, thank you. We have just a little bit over 10 minutes, and so we might be able to take a couple more calls, maybe two or three. We're going with Josh, who has a question about veterans assistance. Josh?
Yes.
Please go ahead.
Hi, how's it going? My question is, what is the state of Washington doing for military members as far as veterans assistance, specifically as it relates to job placement in the state of Washington after they get out of the service and want to, you know, work in the state?
This is Senator McCoy. Before I left the House, I dropped two bills. One bill gives credit towards accreditation if a service member is pursuing the same career field that he did in the military. So basically, all he's got to do is take the test. If he passes it, then he gets his credentials. And yes, those tests cost money, but the feds will pay for that test. So there's no out-of-pocket expense for the vet. The other bill that I have, those vets that are pursuing an education in the career field that they had in the military, they can get educational credits for what they've already been educated and trained on. So that accelerates them to be able to get their undergraduate degree. There are other things that we have in the works, like housing for vets and other medical services. I, for one, worked many years on and got a number of bills passed around traumatic brain injury and how we have doctors giving them a hotline on an expert that they can talk to about traumatic brain injury, because with these soldiers coming back, they're being diagnosed with PTSD when they've actually had a traumatic brain injury. So it's a very difficult diagnosis, and we'll continue to work on that.
All right, we have about 8 minutes, so let's try to get through maybe one or two calls. Siri has a question about COLA for retired state workers.
Yes, hello there.
Hi, hello. Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to know, I'm a PERS 1 employee, and I've retired, and I would like to know if we are ever going to get our cost of living raised back.
This is Representative Salisbury. That's a good question. I voted no when they removed it, and I didn't think they should do that. because once you lose that, it's going to be difficult to give it back. And the focus tends to be this year really a tax on pensions, period, as much as anything. So while you might get something in the House, which I doubt at this point people will focus on, you would play heck to get it through the Senate.
All right, thank you. And we're going with Hugh, who has a question about affordable housing for seniors. Hugh?
Yes, ma'am.
Please go ahead and ask your question. You are live.
Yes, sir. I hope you can hear me and understand me. I had surgery on my spine in a couple of months ago, and they went through my neck, so I talk kind of raspy. I'm 71, pushing 72, and affordable housing here in Everett, unfortunately for me, I spent 20 years in the military, over 20 years, and between my military retirement and my Social Security, I make too much, about $3,000 too much to live in what I call good, affordable housing here in the Everett area. And I heard the good Representative Robinson say to talk, you know, to our city council about getting things changed. Well, that's like talking to a brick wall, because I don't know who controls the amounts of monies that deals with affordable housing for seniors, and I don't know if there's anything pending in the state legislature that would help military veterans that are seniors and that are on a fixed income to be able to afford or be able to move into these types of good senior housing.
This is Representative Robinson. So money for affordable housing comes through the capital budget, which is a committee that I sit on, and I will certainly be fighting hard to get as much money as we possibly can for affordable housing. I will say that from the time funding is received until housing is actually built and people move in can be a process of several years, so it's not instant. The need is great, and especially the need for seniors is just going to continue to grow. As we all know, baby boomers are aging, and incomes are not keeping up with the inflation and expenses, so affordable housing for seniors is just a really critical issue, and it's going to get more and more so all the time. I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to reach out to Senior Services of Snohomish County. They do own housing and that is affordable for seniors, and they also staff a resource center for seniors, so they might be able to point you in a direction that could be helpful to you.
Okay, so folks, that is about all the time that we have. If you didn't get a chance to ask your question, please stay on the line after your legislators wrap it up, because you'll be able to leave a message for your 38 district lawmakers at the conclusion of the call. And thank you for joining us tonight. And now we're going with closing remarks by your lawmakers.
Well, this is Representative Robinson. I just want to say thank you all for joining in. It's really important for me that I hear from you, that I know what issues you're concerned about, so that I can work for them and advocate for them here in Olympia. And it's really an honor to be here representing you. And the more we communicate, the better job I can do to serve you. And thanks again for being on the call tonight.
This is Representative Sells. Thank you very much again for being here this evening. It's always helpful to hear from our constituents so we know which directions we need to be heading and what we need to be doing on their behalf.
Senator McCoy, and I agree with my colleagues on their statements, and this is very enjoyable, enlightening, and please keep your emails and letters coming, because we do want to hear from you. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for joining us.